Good morning. A Tuesday morning, we're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, there is so much news this morning. Let's get right to it. Mm-hmm. The bad news first, unfortunately, and that is the carnage, as it's described in the headlines in the New York Times this morning in Toronto, as a van driver kills at least 10. Police in Canada's biggest city are piecing together witness accounts and surveillance video trying to determine why a driver plowed a rented van along a crowded sidewalk, killing 10 people and injuring 15 in what many said seemed like a deliberate attack. That, and of course, we just the day before learned about the shooting at the Waffle House in Nashville, Tennessee. Of course, the gunman had the gun wrestled away. They've got the suspect, Travis Reinking, who apparently has exhibited multiple warning signs that he was mentally unstable, and his guns were seized but were returned to him.
Yes, I think the father is going to have a lot to offer here in terms of information as to why he did what he did. Here was the cops who took away the guns quite properly, gave them to the father, and the father gave them back to the kid, and that leaves a lot of questions as to whether the father is prosecutable here based on the mental health history of his son, who was at the White House and who was walking around in a very strange way. And it is just awful that the NRA and other people are arguing that we can't take away our Second Amendment rights when you see the carnage that can come from a gun. Meanwhile, the hero, the guy who took his gun away from him, is just so well spoken in terms of, you know, I'm not a hero. I was just trying to stay alive. Other people would have done it, but other people haven't done it in the past. And he becomes a real American hero for so many of us. You know, David, anytime I'm in the city, anytime I'm walking down the street, you have to understand this could happen to any of us when it comes to the van. We have seen it again and again. So the idea that a person could just get into a car and mow down people indiscriminately, and then we just see it as something that happened, you just say to yourself, there's got to be some answers here as to how we're going to deal with people and what we're going to do. It is interesting that when we apprehend these people, when they don't kill themselves, that it might lead to a clue when the psychiatrists and others have at them to figure out exactly what was on their mind, because you can't solve a problem unless you know that information.
From there to Mike Pompeo. After President Trump intervened, the Senate panel narrowly endorses him.
Well, Rand Paul gave in. Rand Paul was right on this one. He said that he was concerned about the past utterances and thoughts and potential for nuclear strikes and other things that had been talked about here. And he gets a telephone call and he caves. He doesn't look good. He says, I changed my mind. I've been assured by the Secretary of State designee, Mike Pompeo, that he is a different guy. Hey, Freud said character is character. We are what we are. And he knows it. You could see it in his face. But, you know, pressure is pressure. He comes from a red state. There is no way out of it. He caved.
French President Macron is in Washington. And as the AP says, the pageantry of Macron's official state visit, the first of the Trump presidency, comes tonight with a lavish state dinner at the White House. Of course, the major issue between the two is to try to help save the Iran deal.
That is a big one. Not pulling out of Syria is another big one for the French president. Somebody pointed out on the TV that he doesn't get along well with strong women, that is Trump, but he can get along well with a guy that he may consider to be sort of macho like himself. But I don't get the feeling these are the two of the same guys. I get the feeling that the French president, Macron, had